Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. We want you to come inside the studio and be a part of this edition. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or a life issue, call right now. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
And you shall name him Jesus. That was the words from the angel to Joseph, and that's exactly what Joseph did when Jesus was born into this world. He named him Jesus. Yep. Well, there's something significant about that name, Jesus. It means Savior, that he will save his people from their sins. It derives from the Hebrew Joshua, and that's the Lord's salvation. Yeah. Jesus Christ is the Lord's salvation. He is the one who saves us from our sins. And Peter talked about this in his sermon to Cornelius and his family, the first Gentiles who responded to the gospel message, who responded to the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And at the end, basically, the invitation that Peter extended to Cornelius and his family was this: to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Yeah. That's the good news. When you believe in Jesus, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you receive him. And in receiving him, you receive forgiveness of sins. So you can say that you are a forgiven person, that all of your sins, past, present, and future, have been dealt with once and for all by the shed blood of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So that's the salvation that the name Jesus brings to you, the salvation from your sins. He died in your place 2,000 years ago. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf so that you might become the righteousness of God in him. Well, when you were made the righteousness of God, that was proof positive that your sins had been forgiven once and for all. God would have never given you his righteousness if there was one sin left unpunished, undealt with. But God, through Jesus, dealt with all of them. Yes. And in doing so, he was able to make you righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the day that you received Christ, you received forgiveness of sins through his name. Talk about good news.
That's good news.
And that's what we celebrate here at Christmas, you know, when we're thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ, and we're asking the question, why did he come into this world? Because that's an important question for us to ask and answer. Why did Jesus come into this world? Just so that we would have a nice holiday season and something to celebrate? Absolutely not. He came into this world to do something for us, to do something for you, to do something for me. And that was to save us from our sins, and not only from the judicial elements of sin, the legal ramifications of sin, but to save us from the consequence of sin itself, and that was death. So when we receive Christ, we receive him. His life becomes our life, and in that is forgiveness of sins. That's why this is worth celebrating, not only this time of the year, but every single day of the year.
Of every year. That's exactly right, Bob. And thank you for those thoughts. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. We have an open line for you right now. If you're hearing the live broadcast at about 4 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Of course, that number is available 24 hours a day. But if you'd like to come inside the studio and talk directly with us right now, 844-322-2742, that's the number to call. Well, Bob, we had some exciting news concerning support for Basic
it's
Gospel.
It's big news. Yeah. It's exciting news. It's big news. We've had a number of our good friends come forward, and they've put together a matching challenge fund, and we're announcing it today. So if you would like to see your gifts to Basic Gospel be doubled in impact. This is a great opportunity for you to give. The matching gift challenge is $52,000. Yeah. So we would like to see that doubled between now and the end of the year. So if you want to double the impact of your gift, right now is a great time to do so. All the information on how you can do that is available on our website at basicgospel.net. We're calling this the Grace Matching Gift Challenge. Yeah. Now, why are we doing that? Why? Because your gifts will help people hear about the grace of the Lord Jesus, that he has poured out on mankind through his death, burial, and resurrection. There's only one way to be saved. That's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. When you give, you are going to make that grace known out there in the world and are going to connect people to that grace of God in a very powerful and life-changing way. So we want you to respond to this Grace Matching Gift Challenge. It will make a difference in the life of somebody somewhere around the world.
Yes,
so
means.
give generously, and give today if you possibly can.
Yeah. BasicGospel.net, that's the place to go, and there's a big prominent donate link right there on our homepage, BasicGospel.net. Well, again, that number, 844-322-2742, we have an open line for you right now. Bob, a quick question from YouTube viewer Wayne about waiting and trusting. He wants to know if waiting and trusting God are one and the same.
Waiting is certainly an element of trusting the Lord. We see a lot of people who, think God is going to do something, but he's not doing it on their timetable, so they get into action on God's behalf.
Yeah.
God made a promise to Abraham that he was going to have a son. Well, that didn't come in a time frame that satisfied Abraham and Sarah, so they decided to help God along. And so Sarah suggested Hagar as the surrogate, and so Abraham went into her, and they had Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't the son of promise. He wasn't what God was going to bring into this world. But they were anxious to help God, and sometimes we're anxious to help God. And we need, when those feelings of, hey, we've got to get in action on God's behalf, we need to just step back and say, no, let's wait. God is doing some work. God is not asleep at the wheel. He's not ignoring the world situation or ignoring our situation. He's actively involved in it. That's what our God is all about. So we can just step back and say, Lord, You're operating a little slow for my good, but I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to wait on you, because I know in waiting that patience brings about good things. And so, yes, waiting is an element of trusting the Lord Jesus, trusting him to work all things together for good as he has promised.
Yes, indeed. Well, Wayne, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And again, we have open lines for you right now at Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. Let me do it one more time, 844-322-2742. Want to remind you, friends, ask you a question, literally. Are you afraid of God? Well, if so, why? Check out Bob's latest YouTube video post. It's called Should I Be Scared of God? It explains why Christians should have no fear of God. And you'll find it on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Take advantage of that. Bob puts up really great videos that explain things in depth, and we hope you'll take advantage again. Once again, that's at Basic Gospel YouTube channel, and it's called Should I Be Scared of God?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk to Ray. Hi, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good. Hey, I just had a quick question for you. So we're reading the Bible, and we're in a chapter of Luke, and I believe it was yesterday. So yesterday was the 11th. So I'm sure somewhere in Luke 11, it says that Jesus was preaching, and I guess Mary and it says her brothers were trying to get to him, and he said that his mother and brothers are the ones that are listening to the word of God. So I was wondering, does Jesus recognize Mary as his mother? and did Jesus have brothers? And also there's another passage where I guess he's a little kid, he takes off, and they're asking, where were you and all that? He goes, woman, I was, you know, doing my father's
About my
work.
Father's business, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Well, so certainly
that was my question.
Yeah, certainly Jesus recognized Mary as his earthly mother, but he knew his real origin, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. His father was God the Father, is God the Father. So he recognized all of that. But yes, Jesus had brothers. So Mary was a
virgin. From Mary?
Yes. So Joseph and Mary. They married, and after Mary gave birth to Jesus, it was at that point they basically would have consummated the marriage and would have had other brothers. So they would have been half brothers and half sisters as far as Jesus was concerned.
Correct. Well, do we know their names?
John being one of them, John the half brother of Jesus. We certainly
they had John the Baptist and John, and they had John the Baptist was his cousin, and then John was a brother. John was a he had a brother named John too. Then right?
Yes, he did. Again, it's a half brother. So we see, for example, in Matthew chapter 12, while he was still speaking to his to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside, asking to speak to him. So we see that he does have brothers, and he does have, you know, half brothers and sisters. So the word of God is very clear on that.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for your question. We certainly appreciate it.
We do indeed. But once again, open lines, and you can grab one right now, as Ray did. That number, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Bob, this question from Chris, who listens on KWRD right here in Dallas. He says, I've heard you say that you don't believe in lordship salvation, but Jesus said we're supposed to repent, and he died on a cross to prove all that. I don't think he died for some people to receive him 20 years ago and have a free trip to heaven. What do you say?
Well, that's a little shallow understanding of salvation. You know, we don't just come to Christ and receive a golden ticket that's going to grant us entry into heaven. Yeah. When we die, there's something that happens to us. We're changed from the inside out. So we were dead spiritually, and that's a problem. And when we receive Christ, he makes us alive together with him. So we cross over from death to life. We're given a brand new identity, and then God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. And it's on the shoulders of God's Spirit to enable us to persevere to the end. Yeah. Well, if God the Spirit is, that's his job to enable us to persevere to the end, guess what's going to happen? We're going to persevere. We're going to see the perseverance of the saints. We see in Galatians chapter 5, for example, a list of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We see all of that. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Well, that wouldn't happen if something didn't happen to us, if we weren't first made alive and then God's Spirit didn't come to live inside of us. We wouldn't be able to bear the fruit of God's Spirit. So if somebody is really saved, they are really, really saved.
Yes.
And we just need to recognize that. And as the writer of Hebrews says, they are saved completely, totally. And it's based on the faithfulness of God, the promises of God, the indestructible life of Jesus Christ, this new covenant that we live in, the sufficiency of the cross of Jesus Christ, the efficacy of the cross of Jesus Christ. It depends on all of those things that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So once we're saved, we're saved.
Yes.
Now, a part of the salvation story is us confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who he is. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of folks saying, oh, you need to make him Lord of your life. Well, he's the Lord.
Yeah.
And when you receive him, the Lord comes to live inside of you. And he starts to rule and reign in and through you. That's how this works. So we keep trying to put things on the shoulders of man. You need to do this. You need to say it this way. You need to have this prayer. You need to do that. And God is saying, hold on, folks. Wait a minute here. I sent Jesus. Jesus died in your place. He died for your sins in accordance with Scripture. He was buried, putting an end to the old way of life, an end to that old covenant. He was raised so that you too could be raised to walk in the newness of life. And when you receive Him, the Lord, Jesus Christ Himself, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, comes to live inside of you by His Holy Spirit. And y'all have a relationship. There's a connection. There's a union. You are one with the Spirit. And that is significant. And when we understand that, we will see the Lord of Lords doing His work in and through us.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Bob. And thank you, Chris, is it Chris? Yes, Chris. Thank you for getting to us and reaching out. We have a couple of calls on the line, but we're going to go to them in just a moment. But first of all, friends, you know, it is, of course, the Christmas season, and we think Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is a great idea for Christmas giving. It's the kind of gift that points to a lifetime of freedom and liberty in the Lord Jesus. In Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, Bob points out that we're all natural-born legalists. We try to live for God, but frankly, it's impossible. We constantly try to do our way into God's favor instead of simply being, resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that He's already done on our behalf. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace chronicles Bob's own experiences of trying to be God's guy, falling flat each time until he came face to face with the truth of the simple gospel, which is simply grace. Perhaps you're striving to please God in every way that you can, or know someone who is. Well, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace can point to the truth that will set you free and will do the same for those on your Christmas gift list. Order copies for Christmas now at BasicGospel.net. Just click the link at the top of our homepage and order one or multiple copies of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, a wonderful gift option this Christmas.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We're doing fine. How are you, my friend?
All right. Good. Just enjoying the program. I've been listening a lot every chance I can.
Hey,
you know, there's a new term. I heard it on the news yesterday. You can look it up on Google. It's called death by selfie.
They
have now. Do you hear that? People are being killed, stepping out into traffic, stepping off cliffs and stuff, taking selfies and stuff. And, you know, you asked the question to begin with, why did Christ come? Well, like you said, he came to bring life. But until the sin situation is taken care of, we can't have that life. And it took me 45 years to realize that I was dead to self and needed life, okay? And I think that message is real important, even at this time that we celebrate the birth of Christ. That we also include the death, burial, and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right there. There's so much about the Christmas story. There's so much about the death, burial, and resurrection that is there, and it just takes years and years and years to really get the depth of it, doesn't it?
It takes the person of the Holy Spirit to come in.
You know,
you don't have to realize it all at once. When I was born again, I thought my sins were forgiven, okay? But then He showed me that I had life, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, His abundant life. And this trip to, like He said, this is what is eternal life, to know Him, okay? And it's certainly not head knowledge.
Right, that's exactly right. It's experiential. It's heart. It's heart knowledge is what I like to
Amen.
Call it. It's just the real thing. You know, there's so many people that are caught up in the doctrine, so they can spout out the doctrines of the faith. They can talk about the grace of God and they can do so persuasively, but oftentimes they're missing the reality of it. That it's just this belief system that they've checked off the boxes and said, yes, I believe this, I believe this, and they're just doing so on an intellectual level. But this life that God has given us, is a life that enters into the heart. It becomes the affection of who we are and what we are. And we can experience Him, Jesus, in a real and significant and personal and intimate way, and truly know Him, know His character. And that's what this good news is all about, isn't it?
Amen. You said it well, Bob. Okay, Merry Christmas, y'all. I hope to talk to y'all before at least the first of the year, okay? Thanks for everything you are doing.
Hey, thank you, Clay. Always good to hear from you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, brother.
Let's go to Frisco, Texas, and talk to George. Hi, George.
How you doing, sir?
We're doing fine. What's on your mind today?
Okay, pretty much, I always had a question about Seth. I know Adam and Eve had three sons, Cain and Abel and Seth. And I was just curious, where does Seth, his wife come from?
Who did he marry? Well, we don't know. I mean, it doesn't tell us in the Word of God, but it could have been a sister, could have been an aunt, could have been a number of people. We just don't know. So we can speculate about that, but we do know he was married. We do know that he had children, and it's interesting. His name in Hebrew means compensation, and so he was the son to compensate for the loss of Abel.
Okay,
that makes sense, George. So, you know, like I said, it could have been his sister. You know, we just don't know. Yeah. The Bible doesn't tell us. Okay.
I see. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, George.
Thanks for your question. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah. Bob, we have this question from David. He says, I have a friend who has a large family that is attacking her for discovering and growing in grace. They say she loves sin, is apostate, and has a demon. She needs encouragement to get through the stressful trial. I've not experienced this myself, but I figured since you are in ministry, you've seen many believers go through much the same as this. This is from David.
Well, almost every single believer that comes to understand the grace of God is going to go through this to some degree or another. And the skeptics, the critics, they all say that if you grab hold of too much of this grace, it's going to be a license for you to sin. Well, there's absolutely nothing further from the truth. The grace of God actually empowers us to live as children of God, to allow the fruit of the Spirit to flow through us freely and unencumbered. It's the law. Whenever you try to direct human behavior by rules and regulations, you're always going to produce the opposite result.
Right.
You put a sign on a fence where right next to a hole that says, do not look in this hole, you're going to have a line a mile long of people wanting to look in that hole. Why?
Yeah.
Because the law is stimulating that desire. And that's what the Word of God says. The law, sin, uses the commandments to produce every kind of evil desire. So if you want to be free of that, if you want to experience victorious Christian living, it is only going to come by grace through faith in Jesus. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and yes to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing from David. Well, thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad, as always, that you are with us. And if you have a question you'd like us to answer, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Also, thanks to everyone who helps in supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and your gifts. You're the reason we're able to be on the air each day with this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And until December 31st, every dollar you give will be doubled in the Grace Matching Gift Challenge. Every single dollar you give, up to $52,000, will have double the impact. So we hope you'll help today with your gift by clicking Donate at BasicGospel.net, the big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, BasicGospel.net. And as you make your December gift, we're going to send you the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar with memes for every month to help you share the truth of the gospel through social media. But for sure, let's work together and meet that $52,000 goal, that matching gift, the Grace Matching Gift here at Basic Gospel. We hope you'll make your gift right now at that very same website, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for part two of the Christmas story on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.